So the first verse, dharmartha kama mokshanam nimittanya virodhatah vartaya dandanitescha srutascha cha vidhim prithak. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a commentary on this, and the commentary is like this, which we can see very beautifully how Srila Prabhupada has included that mood of all the acharyas in the translation itself. So in the commentary, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the translation, he says it, please describe the methods of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, which is the four purusharthas, and which do not conflict with each other, and also describe the rules seen in the scriptures for professions in arthashastra and in the Vedas. So in commentary he says, describe the processes, nimittani, which are mutually not conflicting, avirodataha. Please describe the rules for professions like merchants according to the scriptures for professions. The rules for punishment according to the arthashastra and the rules according to Vedic scriptures. So as we can see, Srila Prabhupada's commentary here, he says, you may also describe the non-contradictory causes of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation, and also the different means of livelihood and different processes of law and order as mentioned in the revealed scriptures. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary is included in the translation given by Srila Prabhupada. So, what does this verse telling us? If we see the gradual process of our study, which is recommended in our sampradaya, we start with Bhagavad Gita, which is considered as a law book. And then the case studies of that law book to understand is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then this ultimate purpose of bhakti is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in Bhagavad Gita, we can see Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and the crux is Bhakti Yoga. But in, which is pure devotional service, as we can see, Sarva Dharman Parityajya and Man Manabhava Mad Bhakto, where Lord is giving, yes, surrender unto me, pure devotional service. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, everything starts right from the beginning. It is Janmadyasa Yatonvayad and Krishnastu Bhagwan Swayam, and up to 10th canto is a pure devotional service. So Bhagavatam is from end to end, it's only Shuddha Bhakti, Vishuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. And towards the end, on the 10th canto onwards, it comes to the ultimate goal of pure devotional service, which is Vraja Bhakti. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it starts with Vraja Bhakti. So it is the ultimate objective of devotees. That's the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's the gradual progression. And that's how instructions to Rupa Goswami by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where we can see that in Upadeshamrita, in Nectar of Instruction, as well as in Nectar of Devotion. So, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmandiyanam Vratam Anukulyena Krishnan Shilanam Bhakti Ruttamam. So, he starts with Bhakti. That's the basic instruction. So, how this verse is related to that particular aspects, that we can see now. So, the summary of this particular verse, if we see dharmartha kama mokshanam, four purusharthas, that is rules of profession and for the punishment. So in the first, in the commentary of the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the gradual aspects of first how to live in this world, which he gives in the commentary, which Arjun is referring while raising his questions. So what he says is, as per the arthashastra, which is more, which is the code of conduct to earn money for our livelihood. And then he talks about the niti shastra, which is the moral code of conduct. And then on the second chapter onwards, Lord is giving, hang on, you have given me religious code of conduct, which is Dharma Shastra. Before that, you are giving me the Niti Shastra, which is moral code of conduct. Before that, he is talking about the Artha Shastra. But then second chapter onwards, Lord is saying, there is something higher than that, which is Bhakti Shastra, which is devotional service. And he talks, and he, that's how the second chapter begins. In this particular verse, it emphasizes, this first verse we are talking about, this 32nd, this verse emphasizes the various aspects of Bhakti Yoga. How? And its relationship with other spiritual practices. So, non-contradictory dharma, artha, kama, moksha, which is given in the Vedic literature, it is not contradictory, but that is not the primary cause of living. That is not the primary cause. That's not the objective. And that's why it is Mahatma Vidur is saying here, please, you may also describe the non-contradictory causes of religiosity. What does that mean? Is there any contradiction in this particular four purusharthas? Yes, there is. What that contradiction is, as Vedic literature, especially the Vedas, are telling us that how to live in this material world nicely. But the same Vedic literature, the same verse tells us how to come out of this world without getting attached. His Holiness Srila Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj, he tells about the Vedic literature. Very beautifully he explains that. For example, he said, if we take Mahabharata, we can read the literature as it is, which is, and take the meaning of the words as it is, and which is called Shabda Bhashya, literal meaning of the scriptures. Then when the person starts meditating on the mood of the author and tries to understand what he is trying to tell us, that is called Guhya Bhashya, which is the hidden meaning of the same verse. And then when the person starts understanding and they have a desire for the bhakti, for the devotional service, that's where person starts understanding the Samadhi Bhashya, which is the ultimate meaning of, or the reason, the purpose behind the Vedic literature. And in this particular verse, as we can see, because who is Vidur? He is Yamaraj, he's a Mahajan. And the point he is coming to is the superiority of Bhakti Yoga in Kali Yuga. Because dharma, artha, kama, moksha, it can happen in varnashram dharma, as we have discussed in the previous verses properly. The religious code of conduct, artha, which is the social code of conduct, how to earn money, and then moksha, which is the ultimate cause, which is given in this particular context for the as a final destination. But if someone is following the Jnana Yoga, then yes, I am here, this is my existence, I am not this body, and that's where it ends. But that's not the final objective. Here Mahatma Vidur is saying that particularly in this particular age of Kali Yuga, we can come to a point that I can't follow these four practices properly, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, because it is so degraded, as Srila Sukadeva Goswami explains in the 12th canto, tatascha anudinam sarve satyam shaucham kshamadaya kalena balina rajan nangshatyavirbalam smriti. It's a as in the first canto, when Sudha Goswami talks about the description of Kali Yuga, he's saying, Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Vipadruta. It's a very mild way of describing Kali Yuga. But when it comes to Sukadeva Goswami explaining that, because he's a spiritual master of Parikshit Maharaj, he's saying it very directly. So if we see the meaning of this verse, ततश्च अनुदिनं सर्वे, एवरी सिंगल डे, ततश्च सत्यं शौचं क्षमादया. ऑल द फोर रेगुलेटिव प्रिंसिपल्स व्हाट Prabhupada has established in our movement, how that will get degraded. Every single day, satya, shaucha, kshamadaya, truthfulness, cleanliness, being kindness, and daya, which is basically the implicit meaning behind that, is the austerity. So that will keep going down all the time, every single day. Satyam shaucham kshamadaya. Kalena balina rajan. And then he says that, O king, as the time of this Kali Yuga becomes more and more powerful, Balina Rajan, the power of that time of Kali Yuga, as it progresses, Nangshatyayur Balam Smriti. And his Bala, the strength, mental, physical, every type of strength, that will also keep going down. And Smriti, the people's remembrance, will also keep going down. So in this age, following dharma, artha, kama, moksha properly in a perfect code of conduct is not possible. And for that, we need proper leaders. We know what type of leaders we have in this world. All the every single country, what type of leaders we have. We don't have to discuss that. It's a bit controversial subject, especially when we are talking about dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So what is the ultimate reasoning, the objective is bhakti. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has emphasized constantly what we earlier talked about. Following the scriptures and coming to the point of shuddha bhakti, vishuddha bhakti. That is the principle established by Mahaprabhu. And then it comes to the faith in Bhakti Yoga. So currently, unless and until someone has faith, person cannot chant the holy name. That's what we talk about in our 10 offenses against the holy name. So how to develop that faith? So that's the reason it is emphasized by our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada that we go for Harinam. Let that holy name people hear constantly, again and again, again and again. That will be the process of purification. And at some point of time, because of that sukriti, people will start accepting our principle of bhakti. And that's where, when we go for sankirtan, whether people are receptive or not, we keep chanting the holy name. And people keep listening the holy name. And at some point of time, that person will be receptive because we are developing that Ajnata Sukriti for that person. What will happen because of that? As once Giriraj Maharaj was explaining very beautifully in one of the Nectar of Devotion class, that he says that as time progresses, Lord keeps giving us the mercy in the form of this natural or our karmic reactions, which is for a materialistic person it is negative, but actually that is the best mercy, because person develops the humility at that point of time. I am not capable of handling all the problems, so somewhere I need to look at the higher power. And that, in that particular situation, in that humility, person will accept the bhakti yoga. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha, coming to the same point again, that it is quite challenging to follow in the process of varnashram dharma. And this in this particular context, the only path which is suitable for this Kali Yuga is the path of bhakti. And that's why he's saying, Vartaya dandanitesha shrutasya vidhim prithak. And salvation, also the different means of livelihood and different processes of law and order as mentioned in the revealed scriptures. What is that law and order, and what is the process of livelihood? That there will be constant calamities. There will be constant problems. Recently, I've been reading the book published by Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj, The Healing Prayers. That in one very beautiful point, he says, he gives the analogy of a storm. And he says that when there is a huge storm, there is a point there in between, somewhere in that storm, which is the point of serenity. It's a peace. And in our life as well, when there are a lot of problems, there are a lot of storms, when there is a point of connection with the Lord, that is the point of peace. That's the point of surrender. And Kunti Devi, that healing prayers, the book is based on Kunti Devi's prayers, very beautifully written. That's where he says that in all the turmoil, we need to find that connection with the Lord, which is the point of peace, and that's the point of surrender. So that was the first verse. We had a little bit of insight on this. The second verse, Shraddhasya cha vidim brahman pitrunam sargameva cha graha nakshatra taranam kala vaiva samsthitam. Where he is, Vidur, Mahatma Vidur is saying. Yes, bro. I didn't read. Yeah, okay. I'm coming to that now. Yeah, I'm going to read that. So, translation here is, please also explain the regulations for offering respects to the forefathers, the creation of Pitralok, the time schedule in the planets, stars and luminaries, and their respective situations. Purport, the time durations of day and night, as well as months and years, are different in different planets, stars and luminaries. The higher planets, like the Moon and the Venus, have time measurements different from those of the Earth. It is said that 6 months of this planet Earth is equal 1 day of higher planets. In Bhagavad Gita, the duration of 1 day in Brahmalok is measured to be 1,000 times of 4 yugas, 4.3 million years multiplied by 1,000. And the month of the year in Brahmaloka are calculated in that measure. So, what does this verse telling us? It is basically a reminder of Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, how this world is full of miseries and how it is temporary. Because anything related to time is always temporary. Right? Mahatma Vidur is inquiring about the time scale in different planets, and it varies from place to place. In heavenly planets, the duration of one moment is equal to 1 year. As we know about the Brahma Vimohan Leela, that Lord Brahma was hiding the cows and the gopas, and when it was for a year, but in Lord Brahma's time, it was just a moment. So, and as we understand, the universe exists, which is equivalent to the lifetime of Lord Brahma. According to human calculations, it's very long time, 4.3 quadrillion years, if we calculate that. It's the lifetime of Lord Brahma. By our calculations, by this, the calculations of this planet, heavenly planets, it will be a different calculation. Srila Radhanath Maharaj gives a very beautiful example of our insight of how, especially when he gives a class on 31st of December of every year, that he says that the most powerful weapon in this world is time. By the power of time, these mountains will turn into ashes. Our tiny little bodies will turn into small ashes. So we need to understand the precious gift of time given to us by the Lord. Very amazing statement, he says. And how this world works, that in third canto, Kapiladev he gives the insight on that. He says that interaction of the... in fact, it comes in second canto and in third canto as well as in fifth canto in different context. So how that happens is interaction of three modes of material nature according to time. Time factor has to be there in this creation. And so in the beginning of the time, which the time enters into Mahatattva. And then three modes of material nature starts playing their part. So through the universe, the primordial factor, throughout the universe, the primordial factor is time, which is a feature of the Supreme Lord Himself. And whenever any living entity goes, the time plays the most important part. Shri Radha Gopalananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gornita Bhagavan ki jai. The famous quote which brings both happiness and sadness in the respective time for everyone is, this time will also pass. If someone is in a sad mood, if you tell him that this time will also pass, that person will feel a bit relieved. But if someone is very, very happy, he is enjoying a lot of sense gratification, and if you tell the same statement to that person, this time will also pass, he will be very sad. The same statement. Quite fascinating. So, how that time works is, the famous story is from Srimad Bhagavatam. King Kakutni wanted to find a suitable husband for his daughter, Revati. We all know that. And he went to Lord Brahma. And at that time, Lord Brahma was enjoying the concert by Gandharvas, the musical concert. And 27 yugas passed by the time the concert was over. And so many generations were gone when the king approached with his daughter. And when he returned to the earth, that time... so many generations were gone, and the only suitable groom for his daughter was Lord Balram, and that's how he got married. So we can see the power of time here. And here Vidura is helping us to understand that how time is functioning in this material world. In chapter 10, when Lord says, with the spark of my splendor, I can create, maintain and destroy innumerable universes like this. And what does that relate? What is that related to? It's all related to the time. So people will be celebrating end of this year in next month, by the end of next month, and devotees will be celebrating with the mood of gratitude. Some people will be celebrating because someone else is celebrating. Not sure what's the reason behind it. Somehow we have completed this year. And some people will be celebrating just for the vicarious value. Everyone else is enjoying and celebrating. That's why I am. But that means there are various reasons for the celebration. And that time we will be distributing, as we saw in the previous verse, we'll be distributing the mercy of the Lord in the... by going for Harinam, by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and by distributing Prasadam. Because in this age, people will be attracted more towards Prasadam than any philosophy. So that will be the form of mercy we will be distributing to the people. Shukdev Goswami says in this particular context, what is the value of long life which is wasted for sense gratification? But one value of full consciousness is more valuable than that, one moment of full consciousness. With every sunrise and sunset, we are going closer to death. And then he says, for non-devotee, time is destroying everything, but for a devotee, it's a stepping stone. So devotee understands the seriousness of Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna Mamupatte Tu Kaunteya. So I would like to tell a story. which happened recently in my family. In August, my father-in-law passed away, and he had a motor neuron disease. He was from Madhva Sampradaya, and he was quite receptive of that Srila Prabhupada's mercy, what his movement is and everything. And at that time, when he was here for some time, he started chanting and then he stopped for some. But when he came to know that he has a motor neuron disease and it was time for him to leave this world, he started chanting incessantly. And he couldn't speak. Still in his Manasa Japa, he was chanting the holy name. Eventually, his voice was gone first, and then slowly he became very frail. And when he was bedridden, once his hands were also not stopped working. And he was, my mother-in-law asked him that, what are you doing? Because his fingers were like this, because his hands were also not moving. And then after a long time, with a lot of efforts, he could convey that he was trying to chant the holy name. On the Pavitra Ekadashi, his mood was very jubilant, but he was bedridden. He had three asaktis. First was he used to describe things a lot to talk. Second asakti was he enjoyed a lot of palatable food. And third asakti was he used to walk a lot. As we can see, because of this disease, his all three asakti, we could see that all his three asaktis were taken away. First, he couldn't speak. His voice box became weak. So first asakti was taken away, his attachment. The second asakti, which is food, slowly his tongue did not function properly. So he had a peg. So he was given food through the pipe. So second was taken away. And the third, to walk. Eventually he was bedridden. He couldn't walk. And that attachment was taken away. So, and then only objective, only thing he could do is to chant the holy name. And till the end of his life, he was chanting the holy name and he was remembering the Lord. And at the, either I think Dwadashi, after Pavitra Ekadashi, he left this world. It is very encouraging for all of us that materially, when we tell people that he had a motor neuron disease and he passed away, people say, oh, that's very sad. It's very miserable. But how Lord arranged the situation in such a way that he had no other choice but to chant and to focus on the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's very encouraging. Just because he was receptive towards Srila Prabhupada's instructions, he had that good departure from this world. So that's what I wanted to share with all of you. I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. I was thinking you were speaking about, you know, gratitude,
yeah,
the marathon. You also spoke about prasadam. And I was thinking Krishna is present in many, many different forms. He's present in prasadam.
Yeah.
He's present in his books, like the Bhagavatam. When we give books out, you can speak about Krishna. I was wondering if there is sort of like a hierarchy of the presence of Krishna. Like, for example, like if you speak to somebody about Krishna, if you give them a book, if you try to get them to read a book, then they'll learn and they'll come to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes they may hear the Maha Mantra on the street, but they don't necessarily come to Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, we know that the holy name is the most powerful. You may give someone prasadam, and they may not know anything, they may not even know it's prasadam, but it is still Krishna,
yes.
And they still make some benefit. So I can't help but think that maybe Krishna is present in a lesser degree in something, and in a greater degree in something else, or is it all the same? I just wanted your thoughts about
He's present in it with his full potency in everything. Only thing is the beauty of the Lord's mercy, he doesn't force it upon anyone. He doesn't interfere with our free will. So slowly that purification process happens, that and that time the receptivity will happen, that the faith, yes, now I don't have any other choice. So if not in this lifetime, maybe in next lifetime, but the person will come to the point that, as Srila Prabhupada says, that once the person has little bit of Ajnata Sukriti, then Lord will make an arrangement in such a way that he will get more and more and more Ajnata Sukriti. And some point of time he will say, okay, this makes sense. I will read the book. I will listen to the lecture. I will listen to the instructions of acharyas. So at some point of time, yes, it will happen. In my case as well, I can say the same thing. I'm a physicist and very much into material studies. I was earlier research scientist and all that. But when I started reading Bhagavad Gita, listened to some of the lectures, and I said, oh, okay, this is a lot higher than what I have studied so far. And that's how I came to this moment. So it will happen.
Just a follow-up comment.
Sure.
Or question, sort of, is that then it may seem like if Krishna is present everywhere in the same potency, it may seem like the best thing to do may just be like distribute loads of prasadam, because yeah, everyone will take prasadam, but everyone may not take a book. So then it would seem like, why are we going through so much effort to distribute books or teach people? It's just distribute prasadam because Krishna is present in the same.
Yes, yes, of course. Potencies. But when prasadam, eating is the basic requirement, and people are get attracted to prasadam very easily. But once your belly is full, then you want something else to entertain your mind. And that's where we can, instead of watching movies or some other mundane material stuff, if Lord's pastimes, the scriptures, which is educating, entertaining, it has everything in that. So why not introduce that? And that's how the receptivity will come. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
I really identify with what you said about the passing away of your father. There was a lady. She was, I suppose, she was about 40. Her name was Devi. Mm-hmm. And she had a brain tumor. She had it for once, and then the second time it came.
Oh.
And the second time it came, she went into a hospice, and eventually her husband tried to give her all these cures and, you know, pure food, pure this, pure that. And eventually and we tried to convince him that, you know, come away from this, because we had some Prabhupada chanting. And eventually, when she passed away, she couldn't speak anymore. She could struggle, but it wasn't coming out. And so I said, look, and she could indicate with her hands, shall I chant around for you each day? And she said, yes. And I said, well, the only thing you can offer now is your breath. Make every breath your act of worship, just your breathing. And she passed away.
Ah, joy. Thank you for sharing, Prabhu. Okay. If there are no other... Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. My question is about, in terms of time, it's described that the devotees, that we don't seek to prolong our lives like the other yogis, and because the devotee begins from the transcendental stage of devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada said that there's no chance of fall down if we're constantly engaged. So I was just wondering, how can we understand this, because we were still conditioned and it appears that there is fall down.
Good one. Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Piche to Suduracharo Bhajate Mamanandibhak. People can divert, can commit certain sinful activities. They can get diverted from the path of bhakti. But still the devotee is, he will make an arrangement to bring the devotee back on the path. Neha vikramana shosti pratyavayana vidyate. He gives that assurance in the fourth chapter that little bit of devotional service is also helpful. It helps that devotee to bring that person back to the lotus feet of the Lord. So yes, hope against hope is very important. Even if there is little bit of diversion or quote-unquote so-called fall down, but it's between the Lord and the devotee. If we start judging, then there will be a bit of a conflict. There will be a problem. So that's what we can come to. Make sense? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Santhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you, Premanandi. Here you go.